Turn to the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We can read from verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and so on. And especially verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Last time we considered the direction and duty of having our loins girt about with truth. And now we are directed by the apostle, writing by inspiration of the Spirit, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the two main points to consider tonight are the nature of this piece of armor and the need of this particular armor. The nature of the breastplate of righteousness and the need of the breastplate of righteousness. The Greek word here is the word from which we get our English word thorax, which is the part of the body between the neck and the abdomen. And so the breastplate was the piece of armor protecting both the chest and the back. And it consisted of two parts and protected the body on both sides from the neck to the middle. How important this piece of armor was. You see, the enemy could come in from all sides, so subtle, so quick, and in the thick of battle could strike from anywhere. You needed protection from all around or all around you. And so without this armor, without the breastplate, there was only two things, either death or retreat. But if you have the breastplate, then there's no need to fear. You may be bold in the battle. You can face the enemy and not startle back. There is no need to retreat because you are fully protected. So there is boldness in the face of attack. And we read in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. So if you have the breastplate of righteousness, you are bold. The righteous are bold as a lion, facing the enemy. Now, what is this righteousness? First of all, righteousness is conformity to the law of God. That's what righteousness is, conformity to God's law. But whose righteousness is this? The breastplate of righteousness, we're to put it on. We're to take the whole armor of God. So, of course, the righteousness has to come from God. But again, is it the righteousness of Christ imputed to us? Or is it righteousness that is put within us by the Holy Spirit? There are some who say that it is the latter, that it is the righteousness of the person that is enabled by the Spirit to sincerely desire and endeavor to obey the commandments of God. Sincerity of heart, righteousness, that is the implantation of grace by the Holy Spirit, putting righteousness in the heart. But the question is that while there is strength in that, is that the protection that Paul the Apostle is speaking of here? When the Apostle Paul speaks of righteousness, what is it most likely that he is referring to? Remember, the Apostle Paul is the apostle to speak about righteousness for justification. In the book of Galatians and in the larger letter that he wrote to the Romans, he speaks of the righteousness of God for justification, the righteousness which is the basis of our pardon and acceptance with God. What is true of the Apostle Paul is that he desired not his own righteousness. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9 that he desired to be found in him, that is found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, the righteousness that we receive by faith, resting upon Christ's righteousness for salvation. And when you consider that the definite article, the, is before the word righteousness in the original, literally it is having on the breastplate of the righteousness. What other righteousness would Paul the Apostle speak of than the righteousness of Christ? So it is the righteousness which God provides and which Christ worked out in obedience to the law. That is the righteousness which is the foundation of our salvation, the basis of our acceptance with God. It is the imputed righteousness of Christ. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ, imputed to us and received by faith alone. And that is what we believe the righteousness here is speaking of, first and foremost, primarily, if not solely. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness imputed to us, that we receive by faith. Now, backing up a moment, there are some, again, who believe that this righteousness is that of a holy disposition in the soul, in other words, a new heart that God puts within us by his Spirit. And it is true that without that righteousness, without that holiness, without that new heart, we will not be able to stand. No one is going to stand against the wiles of the devil without being born again. So that is essential. If we're going to stand and resist the devil, we need a new heart. We need holiness. We need a real love for God, the truth, and for righteousness, a sincere desire to keep the commandments. So that is true, and we must never forget that. And indeed, we may on a future occasion try to speak about the need for sincerity of heart and desire to obey the commandments to give us strength in the spiritual journey and indeed in the battle against Satan. Because if we're not sincere and keeping the commandments, well, Satan will find that weak point, and he will surely bring us down. But, as we have thought of it, the real breastplate, the real, as it were, bulletproof vest, is what Christ has performed, his obedience to the law, the righteousness that he wrought out that fully covers us. There is no weak point in his righteousness. There is no possibility of penetration from the fiery darts of the evil one if we are putting on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness was perfect, and we read about it in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. The Lord Jesus always, always did those things that pleased his Father. And so it is his obedience to the law, his conformity to the law of God, his righteousness that is the protection that we need. So in the second place, let us consider the need for this righteousness. Part of the armor of God, we're to put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it, but all of it. And one of those pieces is the breastplate of righteousness. We need to stand. Stand, therefore. Again, he says, stand more than once. Stand, stand, stand. How are we going to stand? Oh, there's a danger of falling. How will we stand against Satan's onslaught, Satan's endeavors to bring us down? Well, how can we stand without this righteousness? Consider that God is holy and we are sinners. And Satan is very ready to point this out. How can you expect God's help, sinner that you are? You don't deserve his favor. How can you expect to stand in this awful conflict when you are so poor and unable to keep the commandments and God requires obedience? How are you going to stand? You don't deserve any blessing from God. How will we resist this? How will we stand? If we do not have Christ on our side and Christ for our righteousness, then we lose all confidence because of the guilt of sin. We are sinners. We deserve God's wrath. By nature, we are liable to eternal punishment. And Satan is a great adversary. He shows us our sins. He tells us how great our sins are. And so guilt builds up. And what does guilt do? Thinking about the feelings of guilt just now. Well, guilt paralyzes us. And we will stop frozen stiff without the righteousness of Christ. Satan will very easily knock us down unless we are emboldened by the righteousness of Christ. He will tell us, how can you expect God's help? And how dare you think that you can enter heaven with all your sins upon you? When God is holy and you are unholy, God is righteous and you are sinful, how can you expect God to bring you into his favor? Satan is the great adversary. He is the accuser of the brethren. And we need the breastplate of righteousness, that all of those accusations will be repelled. He will show us our failings in various ways. And remember that often what the devil says when it comes to our own sins is true. And we should not make excuses for ourselves, but in a way, we should acknowledge that our enemy who criticizes us may have a point. We have sinned against light and knowledge, against our privileges. When we have received many blessings from God, we have still sinned against him. Satan will point out the timing. You sinned during the worship of God. It was on the Sabbath day that you said that. You sinned with wandering thoughts in prayer. He will point out your position, that you are a parent and you should be a better example. You're an office bearer and you need to lead rather than cause others to stumble. And as Christians, we are professing to be God's people. And that makes our sin all the worse. It is worse. It is a greater aggravation of our sin when we profess to be God's people. And we are in the view of the world, and they are watching us to see what kind of example we will lead. And Satan will point out all these things and accuse us and accuse us. And what is the answer to those accusations? The answer is not excuses. The serpent beguiled me. The woman gave me of the fruit and I did eat. No, those are vain attempts to defend ourselves and shield us from the accusations and the punishment we truly deserve. What is the answer? The answer is to go to Jesus. The answer is it is Christ that died. Who is he that condemneth? Who will accuse? Let it be the great adversary, the accuser of the brethren. And his accusations, most of them are true. But what is the answer? I have the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Who is he that condemneth? What is the answer? He condemns? Well, it is Christ that died. He suffered the condemnation already. Yes, I deserve to die. There is no dispute about that. I deserve to perish in hell. We know that. Satan, you're correct in that. But what you're wrong about is that I'm already covered. Christ's righteousness covers me. His blood has washed away my sin. And therefore, I stand on a strong, firm platform. The foundation of my acceptance with God is not my own righteousness. My sins cannot expel me from the presence of God. I'm already accepted, resting upon the one foundation of Christ's righteousness. So, the answer to all the accusations, well, if they're false, they're false. If Satan says you stole that money from the bank and you didn't really, well, that's a different matter. That's an outright lie. But when it comes to accusations about our sins that we committed, the answer is not, no, Satan, I didn't do it. The answer is, yes, I did. But the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me, and his righteousness covers me, and he is my substitute, and he is my Savior, and I have the breastplate of righteousness. So, whatever the accusation, the answer is, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And when Christ makes intercession for his people, the basis of that intercession is his own obedience and death on Calvary. Satan will show us where we have failed. We have broken this commandment. We failed in that commandment. We were not sincere in our religious exercise at that point. And he will show us all of our failings and shortcomings. The aim is to keep the commandments, but we have missed the mark. We have failed. We have come so short. But it is Christ who has rendered obedience to the law. He has kept the commandments. He honored the law of God. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, for he will magnify the law and make it honorable. So Christ, by his obedience, has fulfilled the law. So what God requires has already been satisfied. What the requirements of God, the demands of his law and justice, have been fully met by Christ. He has given to the law what was due. He has given to the justice of God what was due. And therefore, those who are trusting in Christ are represented by him, and the attacks and the assaults and the accusations of the devil fall to the ground because of the righteousness of Christ. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. This is a piece of armor that is held close to the heart. And that is a protection to cover the vitals, the heart, the lungs, the liver, whatever. It is so close, just as the girdle was fastened tight around the loins, so the breastplate is held snug against the chest, and it's covering us on both sides, front and back. Here is armor that Satan cannot get through. Satan will never prevail against the righteousness of Christ. This is ground for boldness. Yes, we want to be sincere. God's people are sincere. Yes, they have their sins and failings, but they're always brought back to their right mind by the grace of God. But you see, there's that weak point. At that point, Satan has a real point. What is the answer? The righteousness of Christ. We try to keep a good conscience, and we know that when we sincerely desire to keep God's commandments, then he hears our prayers. But the basis of all of this is Christ's righteousness. So when we come before the judge, we appear in court. We put on the appropriate clothing, and that is the white robe of Christ's righteousness. There's the real basis of receiving any blessing from God. We don't deserve any blessing, but Christ has purchased all the blessings of the covenant of grace for God's people. This gives us boldness in prayer, boldness in seeking spiritual blessing, pleading the promises, and the basis of receiving the promises is not because I've tried so hard all week long to do God's will, but the real basis is Christ's blood and righteousness. We need to bear the fruit of the Spirit, but that blessing is received through the channel of the cross. The Spirit comes to work his grace in the heart of a sinner because Christ died. And sanctification is a grace that is based upon the cross of Christ. Our old man is crucified with Christ. And so the blessings for time and for eternity come to us through the righteousness of Christ. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There is boldness in prayer, boldness in seeking grace, boldness in duty. Whatever the duty may be, as in hearing the word and in applying for church privileges and seeking baptism and coming to the Lord's table, what gives us boldness is Christ's righteousness. Here we may meet with the enemy himself, Satan himself, because of the breastplate of righteousness. All of our failings and sins may overwhelm us, but it is God himself who says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Here is a real foundation for boldness. We can go forward in duty. Why? Because Christ cried on the cross, it is finished. So when it comes to boldness and duty and boldness at death, we can face the great enemy. Paul says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And Satan is the one who has been called the one who has the power of death, and he will still try to exert that kind of influence to terrorize even believers themselves. And what is their shield? What is their hope? It is Christ's righteousness, having on the breastplate of righteousness. We should, and I trust God's people, endeavor indeed to do, have a good conscience, void of offense toward God and toward man. But still, they will no doubt look back with many and see many failings. They tried to do what they ought to do, but they still left many things undone. And how can they have hope? What gives them confidence on their deathbed? How can they face the King of Terrors? It is by the righteousness of Christ. Wearing that white robe, having on that breastplate of Christ's righteousness, to appear before God himself, drawing near to a throne of grace boldly to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, having no fear of the king coming in to see the guests and seeing us without the righteousness of Christ. Friend, wherefore camest thou in hither without a wedding garment? No fear of being cast into outer darkness, because Christ was obedient to the law and suffered God's wrath. He provides the foundation of our hope for eternity, for heaven itself, because he is our our righteousness. This is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So in conclusion, Satan, as we have said, is God's prisoner. He is chained. He is doomed. And yet he still comes to us as a roaring lion. Should we be afraid of him? Well, we should be concerned to fight, but we should not be in slavish fear, because the righteous are bold as a lion, and Satan himself is overmatched, and he will cower down, and he will, in fact, flee. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that is by wearing the whole armor of God, not man's armor, and not partly man's and partly God's armor, no. Not just part of the armor, but all the armor, the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Friends, is this not what we need? All of us, young and old, every condition, converted or unconverted, we all need this, and should we not go to him for it? You ask, is it for me? Can I receive it? Is it offered to me? Romans chapter 3 says that this righteousness is by faith to all and upon all them that believe. So, it's offered to you. God reveals it. God offers it. We are to receive it. In other words, don't turn away from it. Don't keep your arms folded, but ask for grace to open your arms wide, that he would take away the filthy garments, that he would put on you that white robe of his righteousness. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all. It's put on them like a garment or like a breastplate, all them that believe. So you are called upon to receive and rest on Christ alone for salvation, that he would cover you, that he would clothe you, that he would equip you, giving you the whole armor of God. And may he bless his word. Let us pray.